B-Pod Studios.
Tim McManus from ESPN. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing well. I'm a product of the 80s. I had the cardboard box and the parachute pants.
See, there you go. You know what I'm talking about. See, they kind of made it Olympic back then. We could have had some, so we could have both had medals around our necks.
I know. We missed our calling.
It's infuriating, Tim. I don't know what to do. And I don't know if the Eagles know what to do with all these stinking injuries. So I guess we should start there. Based on what you're seeing down there, based on what you're hearing, who's up and who's down for the Eagles as they enter prepare for Washington?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a skeleton crew compared to what we were expecting at the beginning of the year. We spoke with Nelson Agholor today, and the term that he used was stalemate to describe the progress of his knee injury. And he revealed that he's been dealing with it since week 6 against Minnesota, re-aggravated it, and this the game before the Giants. And he's missed 2 of the last 3 games, and it doesn't seem like he's trending in a particularly great direction. But I think he's going to be sort of touch and go for the rest of the year.
Freeze right there for 1 second before you move on. I was talking to Sal Powell yesterday, and Sal Powell alluded to, no one accused anybody, he alluded to the fact that he is a free agent at the end of the year, and there may be a chance that he's kind of making a business decision. Do I rush back knowing I'm going to be free agent? Maybe something happens and instead he's not in a big hurry to get back. Do you think there's any validity that could possibly be happening?
That's really tough for me to speculate on unless I have something really kind of like solid on that front. And that can be really tricky because you don't know what's going on inside somebody's body. But what I do know is that, the news that he shared today and the tone that he had suggested that, relying on him, and I mean, you haven't been able to rely on him really as a receiver anyway this year, but to expect him to be in the lineup is a little iffy, which means, with Alshon Jeffery out for the rest of the year, that you're going with this crew of, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Greg Ward and, Josh Perkins as an emergency back. I mean, I was looking at some of these contributors from last week, add those 3 with Boston Scott. 3 of them started this year on the practice squad, and now all of a sudden find themselves in pretty prominent roles. So, Carson Wentz and the rest of the guys have the work cut out for them.
Absolutely. Now, I didn't mean to interrupt you with the rest of it. Lane Johnson, they say week to week. Usually with the Eagles, that means a month or more. That's how it's been as far as we look at it. I'm probably out for this week. Does he play again, you think, in the regular season with that high ankle sprain?
Yeah, I bet he does.
Oh, wow.
And that's not really, I think when you're right, when Peterson says week to week, that's usually pretty long term in his parlance. But I also know Johnson, and he's crazy. He'll try to play through anything. I mean, he's just one of those players that even where he shouldn't be out there, he will be out there. So I'd probably put my money on him being back at some point.
And then Grugier Hill with the concussion protocol, where do you think he is at right now?
That one's, we didn't hear anything about him being cleared yet, and concussions are kind of, you never know exactly when they're going to clear up.
Right.
So we're going to have to wait to see what tomorrow brings when these guys are back out on the practice field.
And then, who's the other, there was one more, I lost it. But, so moving past the injuries for a second now, Carson Wentz plays really well at the end of the fourth quarter, really second half, overtime with this skeleton crew. And I know they went tempo more, and he had apparently more control at the line of scrimmage. Do you think they maybe start this Washington game how they ended the Giants game with him maybe going up tempo and maybe having more control of the game plan at the line of scrimmage?
I think that is going to be part of the recipe, has to be part of the recipe for the rest of the season, especially because he doesn't have a lot of weapons at his disposal. You're going to have to you're going to have to let him carry it. You're going to have to allow him to do things that he's best at. And I think some of that is running the tempo and also getting him out of the pocket. And I feel like a big part of this year was spent trying to make Wentz more of a pocket quarterback than is kind of the right mix for him. I think that he needs to learn how to do that better, but also you need to play to his strengths more. And so that's something that they've been getting towards a little bit more over the last couple weeks, and I do think that you're going to see that. And I also feel like that close of that game was important for the development of Wentz. when we kind of take the big picture approach here and look at what's really meaningful from this 2019 season, it's about getting that quarterback right. It's about getting him through a season healthy, having him ascend into a leadership role and start playing like the elite quarterback that the Eagles thought they had. And he showed signs that he is starting to trend in that direction at the end of that Giants game. I thought that was significant. When I was watching players, the young players, react to him in the locker room after that game, there was something different there, man. Like the energy was bouncing between those players differently after he led them back to a significant win, where you could really tell, like, the playmakers were trying, like, you could tell who the leader was and who was trying to please who. You know, so there was something that happened on Monday night that could potentially carry over for this quarterback that would be really important for this team.
Now, that's a funny thing I want to bring up. Now, because Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, you have guys like Alshon, you have guys like Aguilar who may not even play, but a lot of those guys, probably part of them probably misses him in some ways because he was the guy who delivered it. Is there any significance, you think, kind of the rest of this year and more importantly going forward, that Carson has some guys that are sort of his guys so he doesn't have to, like, look over his shoulder where it's clear, like, this is the quarterback I know. He's my guy. It's important for him in the locker room around him to have his guys at all. Does that matter?
No, I think it does. I think it does. And you know, sometimes the way that it's portrayed as there's like this contentious relationship that goes on between Wentz and the receivers, I feel like is a little bit overblown. But I do feel like just experiencing what I did this past Monday night and seeing how some of these younger guys and the dynamic between them felt different, if that makes sense. And gotcha. Some of that is because of just what you're saying. Like, this is a younger, fresh set that have eyes only for Wentz and are looking up to him in a sense, and also because they were looking up to him and Wentz led them. I think both of those things equal this kind of fresh perspective that was happening. So, yes, so I think there is some validity to what you're saying.
Just two more things. One, the secondary, obviously in the second half, not even the secondary, Darby. So only 29 yards in the second half. They really took care of the Giants. Washington is not some great offense. Geist is now appears out for the season. I think they put him on IR today. They should be pretty one-dimensional, all those things. But the Darby thing, it's hard for fans and it's hard for us to wrap our minds around what happened on those two touchdowns. And I know that Swartz today, when he took full responsibility, all he would have had to do was tackle the man. Like, how are we supposed to look at Darby in his secondary right now entering the Washington game?
I guess there's two ways you can look at it. One, you can look at the past 2 weeks and see the number of big plays that Darby has given up after the defense had really gone for like a month straight of keeping the big plays off of them and shutting down opponents, that you're starting to see that the secondary and Darby in particular have been susceptible to the deep ball or to big plays, and you can see room for concern there. I guess the bright side would be, number one, that Darby rebounded, that the defense rebounded and held the Giants to just, you know, 20-some yards in the second half. And also that Jim Schwartz adapted his scheme to make sure that Eli Manning got shut down the rest of the way. This is not a perfect defense. It's not a perfect secondary. This whole team hasn't exactly acted championship caliber. But they are admitting some signs like corrections are being made both in real time and as the season goes along.
And last thing, Barnett was the other injury I wanted to ask you about. You know his status right now. And then also, Josh Sweat, I know it was the Giants. It looks like he's making steps. Did you see that? Do they think that? And also Barnett's status.
Yeah. So Barnett, we saw him today. They weren't on the practice field, so we'll have a better idea. I'd probably lean against him being on the field to start the week. He was going to get treatment when we saw him today. And that does kind of, advance the importance of a guy like Josh Sweat to step in and produce. And I do feel like the coaching staff is seeing some bright things from him. I think the eye test tells you that he's a guy that they kind of took a bet on that is starting to pay off a little bit. And they could really use him to take even another step over the final three games, given that they are down so many bodies. They really need some of these younger guys to step up and make some plays for them.
All right. Thanks so much, Tim. We really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day. And listen, if you if you happen to see a cardboard box, maybe you start practicing. We'll be in the next Olympics.
Hopefully between here and the parking lot, I'll find one and get working on my moves.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. And that was Tim McManus with the MIG Report.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.